They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hidney Cuff,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Welcome, everyone. This is a weekly talk show. We talk about Native issues. Wendy, you're moving your lips. We're talking Native issues, and Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And we're just excited to be here. We're on 5 days a week, and we want to give a shout-out to Chicago and Madison and KFAI and all the other people that are also carrying the show.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Oh, you had to take a breath there.
I did have to take a breath.
That's good. You're a professional. You know how to do that stuff.
You wouldn't have noticed it if I was a professional.
No. Let's move on. We got the Super Bowl. We have racist team names coming up. Wendy, excited for the Super Bowl. It's going to be freezing. I've already looked at the commercials. I'll be sending them out to my students and having them grade them. There's a couple funny ones. We have House, State Senator Mary Kunish on.
Yes, I can't wait. She's got lots and lots of updates.
Yeah. But first, because we know Ogama has a lot of information here, let's go to the news with Ogama. Welcome, Ogama.
Hey, Anine Bujou, Robert. I've got quite a bit of information to cover, so I'm going to just kind of get right into it. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. Today's Friday, February 5th, 2021. Tomorrow, there is a midwinter Just Futures gathering at the Welcome Water Protector Center in Palisade, and there's been some updates to that due to the very cold temperatures that are coming in. So they've shortened the event from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., and instead of spending the entire day outside, they're going to be circling up around bonfires. Creative activities will be happening inside heated shelters, and hot drinks and food will be provided free to the community. At approximately 1 p.m., they're going to gather for a walk to the Mississippi River, where they will have a short healing circle and prayer. Please reach out to Honor the Earth with any questions for that. This coming Sunday, MN350 is having a February welcome event at 7 p.m. So if you worry about climate change and the future of our planet and wonder what you can do about it, this is the meeting for you. Go to MN350.org, click on the events link, and click on February welcome event, and that will get you the Zoom link. So you can get in from 7 to 8:30 p.m. this coming Sunday, February 7th, to learn more about their work and to meet new volunteers and get some questions answered. Also coming up here next week, normally the week of Valentine's Day or on Valentine's Day in the Twin Cities is the annual Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives March. However, due to COVID-19 this year, they are doing a virtual four-day event. So make sure to check out the 2021 Virtual Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives event page. They do have a list of the hashtags to use to share out your stories and your artwork for that. Day one is going to start with the Sacred Fire. Day two, they're going to have a visual art workshop. Day three is going to be Community Sharing Day. We're going to be able to share your stories and make sure to use the hashtags that correspond with each day. And then on February 14th, they are going to have a Facebook Live panel from about 12 p.m. to about 1:40 p.m. Central Standard Time. So that's really exciting to see that go virtual this year, right, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All right. So this one is one I just want to touch on. So a local artist from Red Lake Nation in Minnesota, Mr. Brian K. Dow from Panema, had his artwork appear on the congressional floor this week. So one of Brian's original Ojibwe floral designs was printed on a mask that was worn by Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Brian had said he had a plan for one of his masks to speak in Congress and had mailed one to Representative Deb Haaland as a gift. However, he did not give this mask to Representative Omar directly. So somebody else must have gifted it to her. Just a reminder, Representative Omar was recently in Minnesota visiting with members of the Bemidji community and activists fighting the Line 3 pipeline, including Tara Hauska of GNU Collective, Nancy Bolio of Rise Coalition, and member of Bemidji City Council Audrey Thayer. Brian Dow is happy and proud to see one of his designs in such a place of importance, and he encourages everybody to read up or to check out his Facebook page, Brian K. Dow Visual Art. He's been awarded Best in Show in Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. So he's kind of all over the place. So shout out to you, Brian. I don't know if anybody can see in my background over here. I've got this lovely piece of artwork that is a Brian Dow original. I appreciate that. He painted my colors in there specific for me. So miigwetch to you, man. Another event coming up here. Youth from Standing Rock has announced plans for a 93-mile run to bring awareness to shut down the Dakota Access Pipeline. The run is set to begin next Tuesday, February 9th. We will follow up with this story more as we find out more information. And then per Indians.com, several representatives have spoke about the increased need for COVID-19 relief funding for Indian Nations, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians. So on February 3rd, Senator Brian Schatz from Hawaii spoke on the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, which he is the new chairman of. And he said, from Hawaiian homelands to villages, pueblos, rancherias, and other Native communities, our fellow Americans who live on or near these lands need immediate relief, not half measures and not more delays. We all need to work together and support Native families and communities across the country. Our shared federal trust and treaty obligations demand nothing less. Senator Ben Ray Luon of New Mexico and Senator Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada also spoke in support of increased COVID-19 relief and additional funding for tribal nations the same day. So miigwetch and pinikiki to you Native and non-Native representatives in the government right now advocating for us. We really appreciate that here in Indian country. And then this week, an enrolled member of the Winnebago tribe, Anne-Marie Blaisdell Downs, is going to be joining the Biden administration as the Deputy Solicitor of Indian Affairs. She has been the Ho-Chunk Incorporated, Ho-Chunk Incorporated Executive Vice President of Community Impact and Engagement for the past 4 years. So now in her new role, Anne-Marie will be the Indian Affairs Legal Team Lead at the Department of the Interior. So that's very exciting news to see somebody from the Winnebago or Ho-Chunk Nation on. Right, Robert? I always like to give a shout-out to your nation when we can.
Yeah, that's it's a different tribe, but it's the same people. It's really an interesting thing. We have a lot of my relatives are enrolled in Winnebago, and a lot of them are in Ho-Chunk. It's a long story, but maybe we'll talk about it sometime.
Yes, it could be a good story. I'd be happy to hear it sometime. And then just an update on Line 3 action news here at the tail end of this. Camp McGizzy did have an action today in which more water protectors were arrested, one of which was the lead organizer for Camp McGizzy, Tayshia Martineau. She was arrested and briefly detained, and I presumably believe she has post bail and is back home with her family. We did share the live Facebook posts on Native Roots Radio all this morning and this afternoon as they were coming in. And then I was also at the Line 3 Caravan event that I've been talking about all week. And we did share a live video from there from the Native Roots Radio page if you want to follow up on that, everybody.
Yeah, wow, that's exciting. It's very cold, and we want to give a shout out as much as we can to our relatives that are homeless. Mm-hmm. We always feel that way, whether it's really hot or really cold. Mm-hmm. And prayers up and tobacco down for all our relatives that are out there. It is just way cold.
And they said it's supposed to last for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's too much.
It is. Hey, Pinigigi Ogama for the news. That was very well read and crisp. Next up, Mary Kunish, State Senator. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm Wakanja Hade. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. 350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org, mn350.org, or find us on Facebook at mn350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Cudgee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Wendy, let me have it. I know you're ready.
I'll give it to you, Robert. Right. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at 651-304-9986 with your COVID-19 questions.
Well, you can tell it's a Friday because I'm not very smooth, or either that or I haven't been smooth all week and I'm just kind of noticing it now on Friday. But read. And we can also tell it's Friday because we have State Senator Mary Kunish on. We are so excited. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
It's good to be back with all of you this Friday evening.
Yeah, really exciting. So before we get to what you want to talk about, I just want to just bring up the fact that there's still teams out there with racist names, and one of them's going to be playing in the Super Bowl, Mary.
That is really a heartbreaking realization. We know that for years we have been trying to get these professional teams to remove the, you know, the racist and the disrespectful names and characters that they have put together. And, you know, it's time for them to undo all of that, get rid of it, apologize for the insensitivity over the centuries and the fact that, you know, it continues to happen time and time again, is really heartbreaking. We were, you and I were part of a rally and a pushback against a team for football team a couple years ago, and maybe in the back you can see I still have the sign from it, and it's just heartbreaking that in this day and age these teams have not voluntarily and apologetically removed themselves from that. And so, you know, back in the day when you think about it, those racist and that bigotry kind of attitude was certainly accepted by society, you know, the dominant culture. And those Indian sport brands have really grown to become a multi-million dollar franchise for those teams and for their stakeholders. And in essence, you know, they're making all those dollars off the backs of our Native communities of the past. And the really sad thing is that most of it is not really done with pride or recognition of a culture that has been the victims of genocide and intentional destruction. And these characters and these stereotypes have been harmful to our American Indian people for decades. And it really perpetuates that stereotype of a group of people that are less than perfect for the white people, and therefore it's not a big deal to make fun of them or use their portrayal in a demeaning way. And so it's just, you know, the consequences to our communities as well. You know, we've heard about the heartbreaking number of suicides within our American Indian communities, and especially with our youth. I think that one place I heard say that under the age of 18, they make up 32% of the Native population, and under 24, that's nearly half. And the percentage of those young folks that take their lives because of being so depressed or deprived of a lot of the resources that most, quite a few other American kids their age receive, and not victim to the bullying and the demeaning behavior. It certainly is time for these mascots to go, and I would just wish that they had done this before the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We have a great baseball Hall of Famer, Hank Aaron, who passed away, and he played for the Atlanta and Milwaukee team that were called the Braves. And, you know, I think, Mary, I think a lot of it has to do, and maybe Wendy can chime in too, is education. I don't think people have it confused where they're honoring us, and they really do. And I don't know if it's a rationale, or I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I know people who I've known for many, many years who are just like, get over it. There's more important things to worry about. And why are you making a big fuss over this? It's no big deal.
Yeah.
But they're not Native American.
Yeah.
So I said to this one person I know who comes from an Italian descent, and I said, would you like the team to be called, you know, this Guinea Spaghetti Eaters, you know, or something like that? And they still didn't get it.
Well, and I think, Mary, I think what you brought up, too, I went to the protest at TCF Bank a couple of years prior to that, and it wasn't so much – The Kansas City team was there. It wasn't matter of fact the people that were coming out of town from Kansas City that were obnoxious and telling my students to get over it, like Wendy said. But they were Vikings fans, and so it's just disheartening. I think the farther you get away from the tall buildings, the more people don't realize really how words affect people, how things affect people, and we're still here. We say that at the end of the show, Mary.
Yep. You know, I have that same experience. I remember that day I was at school that day, and somebody said, "Oh, you're going to go down to the game?" I said, "Yeah, but I'm not going to the game for that. We're there to protest against the name." And unfortunately, this fellow was a black man. He's like, "Oh my God, are you still blah blah blah?" And I'm like, "Dude, you don't understand, and you should understand. When they use that word Redskin, It is equivalent to using the N-word, basically, you know. And if you look up Redskin in the dictionary, it's defined as a racial slur. And here we have a football team making bajillions of dollars and refusing to remove that name. It would be the honorable thing for them to do. And yet they dug their heels in and just refused to do that. But when you talk about educating people around this, again, as I always say, one of my biggest jobs at the legislature is to educate the legislature and the public around issues such as this. And we do have a bill that'll be, hopefully we'll get a hearing for it. But it is a bill that would not allow schools to use derogatory words that would bring offense to our Native American communities here in Minnesota. And there is a clause: if a tribe or if the 11 tribes came together and said we would be okay if this team used this, if they are going to use it honorably, and if they will use it with pride and acknowledge the historic significance of the name, then perhaps we would allow it. But that's a piece of legislation that I know we've tried to introduce every year that I've been in the legislature, and we're going to bring it back again this year, and hopefully we'll get a hearing at least to start the conversation.
I think it's interesting, too, when you do get to the process of putting a vote out there, and I think that's kind of what's happening with 45 and also what's her name in the Congress that they took her out of the education thing, is that you kind of expose people really where they stand in these things, whether it's ignorance or it's just get over it, or if it's just prejudice.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, you know, unfortunately, these big billion-dollar football teams, they don't change until they lose advertisers and sponsorship. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes them change, not because they're being empathetic for Native Americans.
Right. It's
money.
It's all about the money. And I hate saying that. And I hate always saying that. But at the end of the day, that is that's the root of the evil. That's the root of the issue here.
It is. When I went to pharmacy school, I think it was like 1990, I went to St. John's University in Jamaica, Queens. We had a basketball team named, do you remember the name of it, Robert?
Redmen.
It was called the Redmen. And it was a big controversy then, and they changed the name, and all the students got to vote, and we renamed it the Red Storm.
Mm. Easy peasy, you know? There are plenty of good sports names to be had, and let's find those for them.
Yep.
Yeah, well, definitely. Well, you have time to be with us for another segment, because I guess I took over your segment and asked you that question about the. But I know you were deeply involved in the last thing, so I wanted to bring that up, and we'll have a chance to talk about what's happening or what you want to talk about. So thank you, State Senator Mary Coonan.
She didn't answer whether she can stay.
Oh, I read her mind. Can you stay?
Yeah, I'll stick around, you guys.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks,
wow.
Mary.
Thanks, Wendy. Wow. Hey, let's bring up the bumper music. Thanks, Wendy. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and it's Friday, and Wendy's taking over.
No,
all right.
We're having fun.
All right, we'll be right back after this short break. Here, fix her up.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, confidential, and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline available at 1-844-762-8483 or by using the chat now icon at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Smart radio for smart people. That's the Tom Hartman program. Listen to me, Tom Hartman, from 11 a.m. to 2, right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Hopefully, we'll soon be on the road again. When that day comes, I'll bank on Rudy Luther Toyota to have my car ready for the road trips my family will be taking. My Toyota Sienna will have all of its service done by Rudy Luther Toyota's top-notch service department. From tires to routine service, Rudy Luther's safe, healthy service team will take care of everything. And check online at RudyLutherToyota.com for great service coupons. We're all in this together, and when it's all over, Rudy Luther Toyota will get you back on the road. 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade.
And Robert, Strong Hearts Native Helpline announced today it will soon expand operations by offering advocacy services 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. The expanded service launches on February 19th, and you could call them at 1-844-7-NATIVE.
Wow, that's awesome. We're going to have them on next week, too,
and really talk deep in what they do. It's a great service.
Yeah, and it's out of Bloomington. It's out of the Twin Cities.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, it's Friday, and it's State Senator Mary Kunish's day, and we're really excited to have Mary on. Welcome back, Mary.
Thank you. That's kind of funny. It's Mary Kunish's day, but happy to be here with you guys. That's for sure.
Well, you're not going to get a plaque or anything.
Ooh.
Maybe a t-shirt or something.
All right.
Hey, so you're always really up with when we were on just Saturdays. I know we did symposiums and other shows like that, too. But what was really exciting is that you have updates. And I would like to hand over the mic to you and just let you flow on your updates and what's been going on at the Capitol and what's coming up in the next week.
Sure. Let's see. Where should I begin? The DFL, the Dems, introduced again adult use cannabis bill, and they're bringing that back into discussion. It was kind of one of our priorities last session before we had to break for the pandemic. And so that's coming back into the legislature, and we'll see where that will take us this year, this session, if we'll get any hearings or if we'll be able to push it. I'm sure we will hear it in the House, which is DFL majority. Chances that the majority GOP will allow us to have it heard in the Senate, but we can always hope that that's that'll happen. This week, so I sit on the E12 committee education committee in the Senate, and we heard a bill this week that really, again, sort of broke my heart. And the whole discussion that day was around prohibiting transgender girls from competing on girls' sports teams in high school and the youth level. And we spent a lot of time that day talking about it, even though it has already been deemed unconstitutional to disallow them to participate. These are trans girls. And we heard all kinds of disconnected arguments that really weren't significant or really focusing on the bill at hand. We heard about, professional sports and weightlifting and the fear that girl sports will never exist anymore because the boys or these our trans folks will infiltrate. And it was pretty heartbreaking once again to have to sit and listen and then, defend the fact that our trans students, however they identify themselves, have their own right to participate in those activities as they please. And so, yeah, that was a really hard one to listen to. And then one good piece of news, and even though this vaccination period has not been going quite as we all would have liked it, there's just so many moving parts and there's disconnect in communities. It was announced this week that 35,000 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine would be distributed to over 100 health systems and clinics and local pharmacies across the state for folks over 65. And we know that there are families that are so terrified for their children or their loved ones with disability. And we're hoping that will absolutely be become one of the groups that are going to be able to access those vaccines, in spite of the fact that you have to bring the person to the vaccination center, and sometimes it just doesn't work that way. So we have to come up with ways to get it to them. Those are two of the big things, or three of the big things that were happening this week at the Capitol. We're still trying to push for voter ID. That's just going to be one that we are never going to give up on, because we have to be able to make sure that we are moving these bills through our system so that we can make sure that everybody has access to voting. And of course, Republicans are working as hard as they can to reduce the turnout in Minnesota. The proposal that they have that we are hearing requires all voters to possess either a driver's license, Minnesota ID card or voter identification card in order to vote. And that did pass in a Senate hearing in the Senate because it's GOP control. But let's remember, you know, in Indian country, we have always been able to use our tribal ID mm-hmm. as a form of accepted ID because it is, you know, we're a sovereign nation, it's nation to nation. And that was one of the big pushbacks in almost every state that we're trying to suppress the vote. And so, you know, Minnesota always prides itself on having the highest votes of voter turnout in the nation. And we really saw that in Indian country, not just in Minnesota, but across the nation. And if this proposal by the Senate were to happen, and I know it won't happen with DFL in the majority in the House, it would put that that distinction of us being, you know, the highest voters really in jeopardy because those laws, those voter IDs have really proven to disproportionately disenfranchise minorities because voters of color are less likely to hold or possess a photo ID and the required documents to obtain that ID. So those are some of the things that we were talking about. I want to remind everyone it is Black Heritage, Black History Month. Mm-hmm. And again, our historic trauma and our timeline in history has been very similar to those of our Black neighbors and communities. And in many of, especially in the South, a lot of our Native folks are also mixed, mm-hmm. are Black and Native mixed. And of course, it's important to recognize that at different times in histories, we were there for each other. Mm-hmm. And so if I have a good friend who is mixed, Native and Black, and she is so proud of both of those pieces of heritage. And so that's another thing to remember, and we're recognizing at the legislature. And then Senator Bigham introduced sports betting in Minnesota. I get a lot of letters and emails from folks asking, please, to support to make it available, that sports betting, online betting here in Minnesota. And it's important that we look at all sides of those pictures for sure. And then let's see what else is going on.
Well, I got a question about that, Mary.
Okay.
So would the tribes be involved with that? How would they work that?
That's a really good question because right now our tribes are. You're able to do betting through the casinos, and they are concerned that it would somehow pull away from the revenue that the casinos provide. And it's important to know that, you know, casinos, the revenue coming out of the casinos is what supports our Native communities mm-hmm. in so many ways, for our elders, for our health care, the educational mm-hmm. opportunities that it provides. And so I feel like our tribes certainly are concerned with that. And while they don't want to, you know, make it difficult for other entities to earn those revenues from betting, I know they are concerned about that, and we'll just have to see how that really goes.
Yeah, it makes sense to get the tribes involved.
Yeah,
because they're already doing the gambling, and if they give a piece of the action to the state, that would be probably a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, and I think I know there has been conversation. I don't know those conversations in detail, but definitely they have been in consideration and in the conversation because it could have a direct effect on their ability to
definitely.
So yeah. So those are some of the things that we've been working on. You know, it never fails us to that our teachers, especially as schools are going back into school, that the teachers, you know, get the short end of the stick and are often often blamed for the discrepancy and the differences between the schools. But I'm a retired teacher. Robert, you're still teaching. I hear from all my teaching friends just how difficult this has been and how heartbreaking it has been for them to not be with their students. And as much as they too would like to be in school and back in a regular schedule, we have to take this bit by bit, piece by piece. And I hope that folks will recognize the stress that it has caused our teachers and reach out to them with support.
Hey, give me the antidote. Give me two shots, and I'll go back in there. But, they haven't reached out. We, like St. Paul had 88 shots for, thousands of staff.
And they gave it to the administrators first, not even the teachers who were going to be in the classroom. So what sense does that make? I had to put my two cents
right
in,
on.
Sorry.
That was good, Wendy. That was good. State Senator Mary Kunish Pinigigi for being on, and we'll see you soon. Thank you for your updates and all you do for people in the whole state, and especially our native relatives.
Absolutely. Wapla Tanka.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hadi. Up next, Wendy.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org, mn350.org, or find us on Facebook at MN350, building a climate movement in Minnesota.
This is Winona Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Welcome back, Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Right on, Wendy.
Yeah.
We should just keep going and have a show Saturday, too. But we want to give a shout-out before we get going with your sacred animal segment. Mm-hmm. Give a shout-out to Madison in Chicago. We're really excited to be out there and the best of Native Roots Radio playing. And we look forward to a great relationship, and we're going to take over the world. All right.
Hey. I know, right? So my name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you for that name. I'm a volunteer state council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state and local level.
I used to like to say that.
I know. Anyway, I have an article here from the National Geographic, and since it's Friday, we're going to talk about good news with animals. So I have 10 good news stories for wildlife from National Geographic from 2020. And this article was written by Rachel Fobar and Dina Fine Maron. And I'm just going to talk a little bit. I'm going to take a little portion from each one. So number one, wildlife have benefited from some of our pandemic-induced lifestyle changes. The coronavirus, with early human spread linked to the wet markets in Wuhan, China, has focused attention on the global wildlife trade, causing many to rethink the way we interact with wild animals. In February, the Chinese government issued a decision that lays the groundwork for criminalizing use of wildlife as food. And by forcing people to stay home, the pandemic has spurred reconnections with nature. In March and April, the U.S. road traffic decreased by as much as 73%, and fatal collisions with wild animals such as deer, elk, bears, and mountain lions fell by up to 58%. And I'm sure our little squirrelies did well, too, with that. Right?
Because yeah.
They're
little squirrelies.
Little squirrels, right? Number two, owners of problematic private zoos in the U.S. faced legal repercussions. Netflix's Tiger King shined the light on the plight of animals kept in private and roadside zoos. So, although I didn't even watch Tiger King.
We did our own little investigation in private
zoos. Well, I'm just happy that it's brought light, and a lot of these private zoos and roadside zoos are getting the kibosh. Number three, black conservationists celebrated their love of wildlife during the first ever Black Birders Week. The movement began after an incident in New York City Central Park when a white woman called the police after a black bird watcher named Christian Cooper asked her to leash her dog. Black Birders Week included 5 days of virtual events and aimed to boost the visibility of black scientists and nature enthusiasts in a white-dominated birding community. So that's kind of cool.
That's really cool.
Pagolins. You know pagolins, Robert?
I sure do.
So pagolins is that weird-looking, scaly animal. He looks kind of like an anteater or an armadillo?
Aardvark.
Okay. Well, they are the world's most trafficked non-human mammal. They got two key protections in China. So in June, Beijing gave pangolins the highest level of protection under the country's wildlife law. Also, the animal was removed from its official list of approved traditional medicine ingredients, a shift animal welfare group said likely will significantly dampen the demand. Number five, suspected members of an alleged flying squirrel smuggling ring were apprehended. In Florida, law enforcement officers broke up what they believe to be the U.S.'s and perhaps the world's largest flying squirrel trafficking ring, leading to multiple arrests. Thousands of southern flying squirrels have been taken from the woods in recent years, according to Florida's authorities, and shipped to a South Korean buyer who allegedly sells them into the pet trade. Could you believe it?
Flying squirrels.
I mean, really, a lot of this stuff I would have never have known unless I read this article from National Geographic. And it's so funny that during my animal section, our cat busts down the door and starts meowing. Number six, a new effort was launched to combat an invasive species. The U.S. intensified efforts to block illegal importation of the world's most invasive species, the Chinese mitten crab, which are considered a delicacy. If the crab were to escape into the wild and multiply, the implications would be profound, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said. Number seven, retired circus elephants will begin a new chapter in September. Conservationists announced the retired performing elephants of Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus will move to a 2,500-acre conservation center in Florida next year. Tasmanian devils. Those are the little animals that look like black bears, and they have like a little white horizontal stripe on their chests. Return to mainland Australia for the first time in 3,000 years. Wow. They've been gone likely due to hunting and disease. In March and September, just over two dozen were taken to a 1,000-acre fenced wildlife sanctuary in eastern Australia and now are just running wild there.
I love the way you say Australia.
My New York accent. Let me go quickly here. I'm almost out of time. Number nine, a rare global cooperation led to the crackdown of wildlife smuggling. Operation Thunder 2020 included the contraband found where 1,700 of the pangolins, 87 truckloads of timber, 30 chimpanzees, and 1,800 reptiles. Number 10, gray wolves will be reintroduced in Colorado. In November, voters narrowly approved the ballot measure to bring gray wolves back to the southern Rocky Mountains, where they were hunted to extinction in the 1940s. So this is the first time a state has ever voted to reintroduce an animal into its ecosystem. And the reason why they're doing it is because biologists estimate that Colorado can support hundreds of wolves, and the wolves can help reduce overgrazing and erosion that's caused by deer and elk, right? So they want to restore the ecosystem mm-hmm. in Colorado. So that's fantastic. So those are my 10 good news animal updates from the National Geographic because it's Friday.
Yeah. Well, the flying squirrel wasn't that positive, was it?
Well, they found out who's doing it, so they're stopping it now.
Good.
If they didn't find, I mean, really, I mean, there's people
thumbs
out there in Florida, southern Florida, and then shipping them overseas anyway.
Yeah.
Well, so
glad
good news
they found
Friday.
Them.
Yeah.
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 Hey, that was awesome, Wendy. What a great show. I rarely have to work, and so I really appreciate Ogama and Mary Kunish, and of course you, Wendy. You and Ogama are putting together your portions of the show each day while I'm napping. So this is really awesome, and I just want to end with these thoughts. Do you know what I'm about to say?
I know what you're about to say.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plentycoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. Pinigigi to State Senator Mary Kunish, Wendy Pilot, and Ogama. If you're listening to the show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.